Fairy tales and scary campfire stories are often ways for kids to safely explore the nature of good and evil because, after all, they are just stories. Well, this Christmas, parents might be looking for such stories, and we think we have one. So did the National Book Awards Committee. They gave it this year's award for young people's literature. It's William Alexander's debut novel, Goblin Secrets. It's set in the city of Zombay, where theater is outlawed. No person may pretend to be someone else. Only goblins are allowed to perform plays because they're not considered human. Roni, the hero, is an orphan living with other parentless children under the watchful eye of Graba the Witch. His older brother Roland, a promising actor performing plays in secret, has vanished. William Alexander teaches at the Minneapolis College of Art and Design and joins us from St. Paul. Welcome and congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your hospitality.
Well, it is a delightful read, but, you know, we just have to touch on this in light of the headlines. It's also very scary. Roni runs and hides from the grubs. These are other children who are bewitched by Graba the Witch. It's kind of a post-apocalyptic Hunger Games-y kind of existence. You know, have you thought about that in light of the headlines?
Yes, mostly in light of the headlines. I've been thinking about it as a teacher more than as an author.
Mm-hmm.
But the topic of darkness and violence and scariness in a book for kids, I mean, of course that occurred to me.
And what do you think the benefit is? We should say there's also a lot of humor, and essentially it's a story about how a young person, you know, can save the world. We won't give too much away, but, you know, what do you think about the scary, dark parts, especially as a teacher and an author?
I think it's tremendously important, especially in fantasy, in any non-realist genre, because there's some things you can only get at sideways. For a child who's already experienced some sort of trauma, anything too direct, like, I mean, let's take something incredibly common, like a car accident. If someone a child cares about is hurt in a car accident, and then they read a book in which someone is hurt in a car accident, that can be too close to home, that can be triggering, that can do damage in a post-traumatic stress sort of way. But fantasy, I mean, fairy tale violence, when you're talking to someone who, you know, might keep their heart in a box in a hollow tree on a mountain on a distant island, or who turns to stone from time to time, there is still an element of fear and danger, and it can be even nightmarish, but it doesn't directly parallel
the
child's experience or anything that they might experience. And so by coming at pain and violence sideways, it can be healing for someone who has experienced any kind of hardship, because the worst thing, there are so many worse things. One of the very worst things is the isolation and the anything that can break that solitude is good, including kinship with fictional characters who have also had to go through something incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
But it's not a trigger. It's not something that worsens the actual trauma of our world.
Yeah. Well, you have been quoted as saying the way things are not the only possible way they can be. Stories are the first way we figured that out. You know, this is the history of fairy tales, you know, figuring out your own life through these other characters. So let's talk a little bit about how you set them up. You have Roni, again, the hero that, you know, so many kids will identify with, but also the goblins. These are the outsiders. They're the theater people. What are you saying there? Theater people as outsiders.
Oh, that's just theater history.
Tell us more.
I based most of this on studying Elizabethan theater, but it's been common to many, many different theater traditions all over the world, where traveling actors are barely considered human. In Shakespeare's day, all the theater happened in the disreputable south side of London, where you have bear baiting and all manner of barely legal activities. And it was completely outlawed shortly after Shakespeare's day. It's like running away and joining the circus. It's not considered a reputable profession.
Right. The goblins are the only ones allowed to wear masks. People in this time that you've created aren't allowed to wear them or pretend to be who they aren't. And as you say, in the 1600s, theater was outlawed under the Puritans.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some, you know, precedence for that. But this sense of the importance of storytelling which is what they represent, and the importance that you have fantasy within this fantasy story you've created. And, you know, we came across you. You won this huge award, but also our friends at a Waldorf school that you attended and where your mom still works were so excited about your success. The Waldorf schools tend to, you know, try to keep kids away from electronics, do a lot of theater and play acting. Am I drawing a line that isn't there? Did that somehow shape this interest you have?
It certainly contributed to it. Yeah, I mean, speaking of my mother, she was reading me folk and fairy tales and myths, and there's a rich folkloric background to all of the stories I was absorbing from the very beginning, you know, mostly thanks to my mom. So, thanks, Mom. the school I happen to go to, my class teacher, Peter Lehman, was particularly good at reading myths and fairy tales and teaching the rich mythic traditions of different parts of the world. He was especially good at that.
Well, and now you've won this book award, but people worry that the kids are moving away from books, that, you know, a book can't hold the attention of someone the way, you know, a video game can. I got to tell you, your book is for 8 to 12-year-olds. I was riveted. Just as we let you go, what is the pull of the wild, impossible story?
Well, books can do things that no other medium can. So I'm not worried about video games. I'm not worried about television.
Because why? Because what does Goblin Secrets do that they can't?
Language. Electronic media is made out of images, and they use images very, very well. And that's what they do. Language is something different. Language, the way we create pictures out of someone else's words, I mean, the way we fill in those gaps, I don't think we're actually in as direct competition, these different kinds of storytelling, as people think whenever we panic about, oh, God, we are watching too much TV. We could be doing other things other than watching a tremendous amount of TV, don't get me wrong. But I don't, it's not necessarily a direct conflict. We might be trying to do the same thing by other means, and I think there's room for many, many different kinds of telling stories. And so far, nothing has replaced language all by itself, making up a bedtime story, reading a decent book at bedtime, just pausing to read parts of it aloud to yourself even when you're alone because you can't help it because it's just put together that way. Nothing has replaced that. For thousands of years, nothing has replaced that.
Here is your first line, Act 1, Scene 1. Roni woke when Graba knocked on the ceiling from the other side. Plaster dust drifted down from the knocking. Graba knocked again. Baskets hung on chains from the rafters, and they shook when she knocked. I'm in. William Alexander's book is Goblin Secrets. It just won the National Book Award for Young People's Literature. William, congratulations again, and thanks so much.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor.
Should I admit that? It's a book for 8 to 12-year-olds, and I loved it. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service, NPRI. Our producers include Lynn Menegon, Hitesh Hathi, Kevin Sullivan, Emiko Tamagawa, Catherine Gorman, Alex Ashlock, and help from Rachel Rohr. Thanks, Rachel. Our interns are Connor Gillies and Imogene Weinstein. Our technical director is Doug Sugertz. Chris Ballman is the managing editor, and the senior producer of Here and Now is Kathleen McKenna. I'm Robin Young. Please join us again, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.